Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Well, good morning. My name, I like that song, dude. What in the world? What was that? I'm sure that's going to be stuck in your mind for the rest of this month, but good morning. My name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here. You picked a great weekend to hang with us because we are concluding our series, My Big Fat Mouth. A shout out to everybody watching online via podcast or YouTube. I'm glad that you guys can join us today as well. If you're anything like me, maybe you've said some things that you wish you hadn't. Maybe some things that came out of your mouth that you wish you can reel back in. Maybe some things that you're not proud of. Like on a school morning, you're getting the kids ready for school and, you know, you got to do pigtails over here. Then you're doing, you know, peanut butter and jelly over there. And you're rushing everybody outside the door. You're trying to make it to class on time. You're trying to make it to work on time. And then in the frustration or the, you know, hustle and bustle of the morning or the day, you probably spit some things out that, man, I wish I didn't say that to the person that I love, or to my kids, or to my spouse. Maybe you come home from just a hard day at work. I totally understand that. You know, the 9-to-5 grind, and you know, you have deadlines to meet. You have projects that, you know, you're in charge of. A lot of things that are already on your plate, and maybe you have an expectation when you get home, you know, everything's clean, maybe the dinner's on the table, and then when you get home after a long day of doing whatever you had to do, now expectations are not met, and, you know, you're a little frustrated, and maybe some things come out of your mouth that you wish you can take back. These things are now just kind of thrown into the universe, right? Like, you know, you're saying, oh, you're always doing this, oh, you never clean that, and things are thrown into the universe, and then the husband or the wife or the kids, aka teenagers, they're really, you know, experts at grabbing those things and bringing them back to you and saying, remember when you said this? Like, that really hurt. That really cut me down. That didn't give me life. My big fat mouth. And you experience some of these moments, and you're like, man, I wish I could reel that one back in. I wish I didn't say that. I wish that came out differently. That's not what I meant when I said it that way. And we have these big, fat mouth moments. And if that's you, I want you to understand that you're in good company, because that's me too. And I'm sure that all of us, from time to time, we experience those moments. This morning, I want you to understand that there's so much power in your words. There's so much power in the things that we say, because what you say can actually build someone up, or it can chop them down, if you know what I'm saying. Words have the power to actually heal, or they have the power to cut someone down, to wound them. And this is not in your notes this morning, but I want to read you a verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. It's not in your notes, but this is what it says. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love to talk will have to eat their own words. Super descriptive from the book of Proverbs. There is power in our words. There's power in the things we say. And more often than not, I think we find ourselves eating our words. Man, sometimes for me, if I can tell you the truth, it's a buffet over here, okay? Like, there's lots of times where I'm like, oh, man, I messed that one up. Sorry, babe. Sorry, like, I wish I didn't say that way. I didn't mean that. It was just a frustration in the moment. There's power in our words. And let me remind you, okay, that this series is not about checking off a list. This series is not about, okay, week one, stop gossiping, check. It's like not, it's not, okay, I'm going to stop criticizing, check number two. Stop complaining, check three. This isn't about I'm going to do better, right? Checking off these things off a I'm going to do better list. That's not what it's about. It's actually unpacking some deeper issues, some heart issues that create outward expressions that become our big fat mouth moments, because whatever is in here, whatever is in the heart, eventually it expresses itself out in the mouth. Whatever's in here eventually expresses itself out there. Just like when a patient goes to the doctor, okay? It's because there's an outward symptom that comes from an inward disorder. Does that make sense? What's in here eventually expresses itself out there. And today we're going to be talking about lying, and our heart as a church isn't to get you to simply stop lying, okay? It's not, hey, let me just stop lying this week and I'm good for the year. But today's talk is designed to help us actually be aware and recognize, man, why do I do that? Why do I lie to make myself look better? Why do I try to put on this facade or I say these things to people because I want to impress them? Why am I covering that up? Here's a couple of statistics for us about lying. Based on studies performed by the University of Massachusetts about people who interact with someone new, okay, it says that 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without telling at least one lie. And within those 10 minutes, about an average of 2 or 3 lies are told. 12% of adults admit to telling a lie often or sometimes. 80% of women admit to telling half-truths occasionally. 31% of people admit to lying on their resumes. 30% lie about their diet and exercise regimens. A tenth of lies are just exaggerations, but 60% were outright deception. Americans tell an average of 11 lies a week. That's a lot. Some of the top reasons why people lie, number one is this, simply to probably impress people. You don't want them to think badly or poorly about you. You want to maybe avoid conflict. You think, hey, if I don't say this thing, we're going to be all good. Like, and sometimes that's where I struggle in. I like things to be smooth, so I'm just like, yeah, cool, whatever. But it's a little white lie sometimes. Maybe to get out of trouble or to shift blame to somebody else. Here's probably one of the most common ones, to avoid hurting someone's feelings. You know, you're just trying to be nice. And guys, let me say this, guys. If she says, do I look good when I wear this? It's always yes, all right? The answer is always yes. How do you think God feels about lying? How do you think God feels when we lie? Proverbs 12:22, it's up on the screens. This is what it says. It says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. That word detests, when it's translated, it means something that's disgusting. It's an abhorrence. It's an abomination. It literally means to make one nauseous. And the Bible says that the Lord detests. It makes him nauseous when we lie. He detests it. It disgusts him. It makes him sick. It's actually the opposite of who God actually is. The Apostle Paul says this in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verses 21 to 25. I'm going to read it for you. It says this, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. If you're taking notes this morning, man, underline that right there. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I love verse number 25. So stop telling lies. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. This is what the Apostle Paul was saying. He's saying, hey, stop telling lies. It's time to be honest, man. That was the old you. That's how you operated when you were living disconnected from the true God. You're not that way anymore. You've been kind of encouraged and challenged about operating your life this new way when you started to follow Jesus. It's super important that you renew your thoughts and your attitude. Be real. Be authentic. It's a better way to live. Stop telling lies. If you're taking notes this morning, go ahead and write this down, this statement. you're never more like the devil than when you lie. We are never more like the devil, the enemy, than when we lie. That's a pretty strong statement. That's a pretty bold statement, and whatever is in here eventually expresses itself out here. And what you're planting in your heart, eventually it makes its way to the surface. And that's why it's so important for each and every person here today to let the Spirit of God renew your thoughts on a daily basis. Renew your heart on a daily basis and your attitude, because we are never more like the devil than when we're telling lies. John 8:44 is what it says. It says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I love how the Bible just kind of puts that word picture there. He speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When we lie, we're actually speaking the devil's native language, is what the Bible says. It's part of who he is. It's his calling card. It's in his character. It's in his culture. It's opposite than God's character and who he is. And his number one weapon for us who are following him is to lie, to deceive, and to get you off course, disconnected from God's truth. He is the father of lies. The Bible says that the devil is a liar, and his deception is to take you away, or take us away, from the freedom that you can find in God and in God's truth. He has a plan, and he wants you to be part of that. The enemy doesn't take days off, and he's going to try to influence your everyday life with some of these lies, with this thing that's called his native tongue, lying. Here's a couple thoughts about the devil's agenda to deceive us through this weapon, the lie. Okay, go ahead and write this down. Here's number one, to get you to lie to begin with. To get us to lie to begin with. He wants us telling lies. It's the foundation of what his agenda is. He starts to try to get you to speak his native language, his native tongue. He wants us to be disconnected from God's truth. He wants us to lie to begin with. And sometimes that looks like, you know, we exaggerate a story so that we can impress people. Sometimes that's telling just a story that's a little bit bent so we look better. Maybe for you it's cheating on a project, or cheating on a test, or your taxes. Just, you know, no one's gonna find out. And he wants you to lie to begin with. Maybe it's about where you were. You were hanging out with a few folks that, you know, maybe your spouse wouldn't approve of, and you're in a situation that's a little bit more sketchy, and you try to lie to cover that up because, you know, man, I know I'm not supposed to be here. And you lie to cover it up. Maybe you make up something about someone that you don't like, and you spread that via social media or at the workplace or via text. And you're not telling whole lies, just half truths. And I know that can happen to us sometimes. We leave out details. We tell stories. We paint pictures of situations that make us look better. We begin speaking the devil's language. When my wife, Brianna, and if you're new here, she was the beautiful woman that was sitting up here and singing. And when we were dating, there were some things that actually I hid from her that I didn't tell her about because I wanted to look good in her eyes. And let me tell you, fam, that's not a good way to start a relationship, okay? But there are some things that I didn't want to tell her. I was like, oh, I don't know what she's going to think. I hid some specific things from her even after we got married. Because I was just so like, I don't know. And I don't do this now, but I used to smoke cigars, okay? I used to do it a lot, actually. And I hid this from my wife, knowing full well what she thought about that and how it would affect her. But I kept that from her, and I still kept doing it. And one day, I decide to come home clean. I decide to, you know, I'm wrestling in my heart, man, and I tell her. The conversation that preceded hurt, okay? Like, it was really hard. It was really hard because uncovering lies about yourself, number one, it's not easy. And number two, it's not fun, but it's something that had to be done. And I ended up disappointing the woman I love because I wanted to make myself look good. I wanted to make myself look good in her eyes. Notice how I'm in the middle of all that. The focus is on me. I want to look good. I don't want her to think bad about me. I want to get ahead. I want to this and that. And that's why I kept it from her. And when I began to speak the enemy's language, I not only was hurting myself, but I was hurting those that were inside my circle that I love so much because I didn't want to get found out. The devil is going to try to get you to lie to begin with. Here's number two, to get you to lie to yourself. The enemy not only wants you to get you to lie to begin with, but to get us to lie to ourselves. He gets you not only lying to others, but he gets you lying to yourself. You start to rationalize things, the lies that we're telling ourselves, and sometimes that means we got to start doubling down on some of our lies just so that we can keep up with this first lie that we told a long time ago, right? It's exhausting. It actually becomes a cycle, and sometimes we can do it so much that we start to believe our own lies. All these things start spinning in our heads. Well, yeah, I keep telling myself that story over and over and over. That must be right. That must be okay, even to the point where we can sometimes rationalize sin, rationalize something that is outright wrong. And you might be saying to yourself, man, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as that next guy. You know, I could quit at any time. It's okay. I can handle it. I'm not hurting anybody. It's not my fault. You know, I'm the victim. It's all their fault. It's never my fault. I'm not hurting anybody. And we start to rationalize things in our mind because we probably feel something inside. And now you're not just only lying to others. Now you start lying to yourself. We start lying to ourselves. This happened to a guy named King David in the Bible. And he was someone who wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was a leader of an army, and instead of being in battle with his men, you know, fighting side by side with them, he actually stayed home, and he was chilling on a rooftop one day, and he sees a woman afar off, and she was bathing herself. And King David, this man who was not where he was supposed to be, the Bible says that he commits adultery with this woman. He's like, hey, what's up, Ma? How you doing, man? Like, And in his mind, he was like, you know what? I've led this kingdom for so long. Like, I deserve a little something. I need a little rest. Like, go ahead. And he sends his soldiers out to battle, and he kind of stays back. Starts rationalizing, you know, man, I do a lot for this kingdom. That right there, hey, what, can I get them digits? What's up, girl? And the Bible says that he commits adultery with this woman. And not only that, this woman is married, and her husband is actually one of his best soldiers. And what he does is he sends the husband out to battle to be killed, and he actually ends up dying. And King David actually not only commits adultery, but commits murder, and he rationalized his sin because of what he was telling himself. It's because what he was deceiving himself. And just like that, David, just like what happened to David, sometimes we deceive ourselves and it comes to the place where, man, we actually start to be disconnected from God's truth because of that rationalization. The enemy wants to deceive you. He wants you to speak his native language. He's the father of lies, and he wants you to lie to begin with. He's trying to get you to lie to yourself. He's disconnecting you from the truth. The enemy's agenda is not only to get us to lie, but also to get us to lie to ourselves. Number three is this. Here's the third one. He's going to try to get you to live a lie. He tries to get us to live a lie. to claim one thing, but to live something that's totally different. And this might not be everyone today, okay? I totally understand that, but I'm almost positive it's at least some of us in here. Because we're struggling with some real things. And, you know, you might have this amazing life, right, on Instagram or Facebook. And we could post, man, hashtag my new car. Or, you know, this is our vacation. Or, you know, this is my morning routine. I woke up this beautiful, you know. And we start telling ourselves these things. And we can share all the highlights of life. But in reality, man, you might be fighting some really deep depression or disappointment. And it's easy to edit those photos and put filters on our lives to be able to hide the blemishes that we're actually not very proud of. And we start living a lie. It's the mom who tells the world that, man, I have it all together. You know, I'm taking the kids to school. I'm doing all these things. But deep inside, she's worn out and she's depressed and maybe really disconnected from some really life-giving relationships deep down inside. Maybe it's the spouse who says, well, you know, I'm working these long, late hours just so that I could provide for you. See how much I love you? I'm doing this for you. And maybe that's true, but for some, the reality is that you got a little something on the side because you feel it's going to help you ease the stress of raising a family, living a lie. And please don't get me wrong. Let me say this. There are many people today, really good people, okay, who have been deceived by the devil. People who let themselves be influenced by the enemy's language, the devil's language, and he has you mixed up in his agenda to lie to others and then to lie to yourself and now to live a lie. And he's coerced you to operate a life that's disconnected from Almighty God. That might be some of us today. 1 John 2:4, it's going to be on the screens. I want to read this verse for you, then I'm going to unpack some really deep truth in here, okay? So get ready for some preaching. It's like, I'm just joking. Here's 1 John 2:4. It says this, if we say that we know him, but do not obey his commands, we are liars and there is no truth in us. Let me read that one more time. I want you to pay attention here. If we say that we know him, but do not obey his commands, we are liars and there is no truth in us. I know maybe for some of you guys, you're newer here or you're newer to following Jesus. You might not even call yourself a Christian, and that's totally okay. You're welcome here. But there's some basic, really deep truths in this verse that I want to unpack for us this morning. And it's this, when you decide, okay, to say yes to Jesus, you are inviting him into your life. There is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can try to earn or try to work out to achieve God's forgiveness in your life or to earn his favor in your life, because the reality is it's already offered to you when Jesus died on the cross. All you have to do is say yes, okay? The scripture is also very clear that when we invite Christ into our lives, there's actually something that happens inside of us. There's something that happens within. There is fruit that comes when we plant Jesus into our lives. Some things change. For some of us, it's your outlook. For some of us, it's your perspective. It starts to change. For some of us, some of the things that we did before, we gave our life to Christ, maybe those things don't have a hold on us like they used to. That happens. The grip is kind of loosed from that. So let me be clear right here, okay? Experiences are different for everyone, and struggles are still real, okay? Addictions to drugs, pornography, or whatever the case may be. Experiences are different, and struggles are still real. But the truth remains that when God is in our lives, there is evidence of that inside of us. Whatever is planted inwardly expresses itself outwardly. So in your life or in our lives, I think it's worth investigating the fruit that is growing on your trees. What kind of fruit is growing on your trees? What's coming out of your life? What's coming out of your mouth? Am I living a lie? Am I lying to begin with? Why do I do what I do? Why do I react that way or operate that way? I truly believe that to every symptom, there's a disorder. And I've learned from some really great people to get underneath the surface, to get to the roots. Because when we bring the truth of God's word to the roots, that's the place when we can actually find healing in our lives, when we get to the roots. So then, what's the reason most of us lie? What's beneath the surface? What's the root that's beneath the surface? It's the next one on your notes, and it's this. The reason most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. It's because we don't completely trust God. We believe the lie that our lie is actually working better than the truth. Does that make sense? What do we tend to think, man? We think that, man, if I lie, I'm going to be safe. I find security in that, man. If I just don't tell, or if I just kind of keep this, you know, behind, I'm finding security in that. I won't get in trouble. And now we build our lives on a lie, and now we have to try to keep that up with another lie and another lie, and actually it takes a lot more work for us. We're looking over our shoulder. We're paranoid. There's no peace. Your mind is constantly wondering, like, man, will I get found out? Will I get caught? You're not at ease. It's kind of interesting to think about. We're building our security actually on insecurity when we lie to ourselves, when we try to lie to keep ourselves safe. Here's another one. Lies will help people like me better. Lies will help people like me better. I'm going to impress someone. But now this is the problem. Those relationships that, you know, we built that upon, now that relationship is actually built on lies. And it's built on dishonesty, and it's built on a facade that's not real. You might think, man, lying is going to help me avoid conflict. You know, if I just don't say this, or if I just kind of keep this behind, I can really, you know, get around a lot of hard conversations that I don't want to have. But the truth is, sometimes the best relationships are built on the other side of some really hard conflict and some really hard things. Sometimes that happens. And the root we tend to believe is that our lies are actually better than God's truth. We lie to ourselves. The reason why most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. Lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. Everybody say that with me. Lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. Let's say it one more time. Lies bring bondage. The truth brings freedom. Satan wants us to tell a lie. He wants us to believe those lies and ultimately live out a lie. But Jesus wants you to walk in freedom. He wants you to walk in truth. He wants you to be set free. We talked about the devil's agenda. We talked about what he wants to do and his plan for us. But, you know, what's God's plan? What does God want to do in your life today? What is it that he wants to prosper us with? Here's God's plan for us today. Confession to God for forgiveness and to people for healing. Confession to God for forgiveness and to people for healing. And please don't miss this morning. I love what 1 John 1:9, this is what it says. It says this in 1 John 1:9. God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, he forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. Man, when you confess to God, when we confess to God, he cleanses you. He forgives us. He's faithful. The Bible says he's reliable. He gives us freedom walking in his truth. The book of Psalms actually says this, that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't hold it against us anymore. He actually gives you a clean slate, and he provides that same forgiveness and that same grace over and over and over again, because that's how good God is. That's the same grace that changed my life. You know, sometimes I ask myself this question, man, like, why do you do what you do? Why do you serve God the way that you do. I'm so grateful and thankful for how good God's been to me in my life, that the only way that I feel that I can express that gratitude to God is for me to live my life for Him. God is so good to me. He came into my life and he forgived me of my sin, and He does it over and over and over. And I'm just so grateful, and I've given my life to Him because of what He's done for me. I'm going to go ahead and put a picture up here on the screens. If some of you don't know, my wife and I, we work with the youth, the middle school and high school, and this is what a Sunday morning looks like for them. I'm so proud of them. They're not perfect, right? They're not perfect, but they open up about their deepest insecurities. They talk about their hurts. They talk about their struggles. They even talk about the victories that they have following Jesus. They express doubts, but they also express areas where they're really trusting in God in a real way on a daily basis. Maybe some of you are not connected to a small group, all right? And maybe you need to sign up for something like that today. Maybe you're being challenged to take the next step of actually hosting a small group. And yeah, you've been in a small group before, but you're like, man, maybe I'm being challenged to lead in some other area. Maybe you need to surround yourself with others who can speak life and healing into you. That's what our students do on a weekly basis. And they share the things that, man, Josh, I'm struggling with this. Like, you know, can you pray for me? And they pray for each other, and they encourage each other, and they do that because they know, man, I have community here. Maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's what some of us need. Maybe you need a solid group of people who can pray over you when life throws you curveballs. Maybe we need to get around some people who we can do life with, who we can walk faith with. Maybe we need to be a truth teller this week and be honest about where we are, with the places that we struggle. And we can confide in a group of people who can lift us up, who can lift us up in faith. Here's another verse for you. And I'm going to kind of close this out this morning. This is what it says. It says in James 5:16, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you can live together whole and healed. I love that. Whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Let's keep that up here for a minute. Make this your common practice. Let's not just do it monthly. Let's just not do it yearly. Let's make this common in our houses. Let's make this common in our lives. Make this your common place that you confess your sins to each other and you pray for each other so you can live together whole and healed. I know there's lots of people who walked in this morning that you walked in with a smile on your face. You know, you got the kids, you got ready for church, and you're here, and I'm so glad that you are, but you're going through something really, really hard that nobody knows about, and you need healing, and you need something a little extra, and there's maybe some confusion about some areas of your life or even your marriage or with your kids or whatever that looks like for you, and you need some supernatural healing from God. Today, I want to challenge you to be honest about where you are, because God wants to meet that need. God wants to do something in you, but we got to be willing to say, that's me. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be a truth teller of where I am. What does that look like for you? Can I pray for us this morning? God, thank you so much for my friends here today and just your word, where you have challenged and encouraged us to live a life of honesty, to use our mouth to not cut people down, but to lift them up, to not to lie to begin with, to not rationale some of the things that we're struggling with in order to be comfortable. God, I pray for each and every person here this morning that might be struggling in a certain area of their life. As everybody's heads are bowed, as everybody's eyes are closed, this is kind of the portion of the service that, you know, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to what you heard. And I'm not going to, you know, bring any tension to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. So if you can say, you know what, Josh, I heard what you said this morning. I heard what God's word said. And I'm challenged to be truthful about where I am in my life. because I'm living a lie. Or you know what? My mouth, I speak the enemy's native language so I can impress people or so that I can get out of trouble. If that's you, I would love to pray for you this morning. So if everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed, no one's looking around, can I ask you to slip your hand up? And I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see it. Yes, praise God. Praise God. No one's looking around. Anybody else? Praise God. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. God, I pray for each and every one here today. I pray for the ones, especially who raised their hand, who says, you know what, I'm sometimes I live a lie, and I want to get honest today. So God, I pray that you would put a super on their natural, that you would fill them with your spirit, that as they come to the place where they're like, you know what, this is me and this is what I'm struggling with, they need your strength today, God. So I pray that over them. I pray that you would bring confidence and anointment and power over them today so they can walk out their week in victory because they've trusted in you. I pray for that over my friends here today. God, thank you so much. Thank you for challenging us, encouraging us in your word. In your name, I ask these things. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.